I'm excited today to finally introduce myself in a more formal way. My name is Father Stephen Vetter, and I'm the new associate here at the Cathedral. Thank you. It's exciting to be here. It's been a long time coming, over 7 years of preparation. And so thank you for your prayers, for your patience, and hopefully I'm prepared to serve you the way that you need served. That's what I'm here for. I'm looking forward to it. My name, as you can tell, kind of gives away a lot of my background. I'm a Vetter, and my dad is from Linton. So Bishop Vetter, your former rector, is my uncle. And Father Nicholas Vetter, the former chaplain at the high school, is my younger brother. When my dad was a young man, he decided to go ahead and marry a Richter. And so now I'm related to both. Now, they've both been wonderful families to be part of, and the priests have been excellent examples to me. My story begins in a little town named Torrington, Wyoming. That's where I was born and raised, town of about 5,000 just north of Cheyenne, if you know Wyoming at all. I have five brothers, four sisters. So I grew up in a wonderful Catholic home with faithful parents who taught us the faith. I went to the public school there in Torrington, graduating as homecoming king. I'll throw that out there for you. And I decided to go to the University of Wyoming in Laramie, Wyoming. From there, I graduated with an education degree, social studies, government. I never did use that teaching degree, but I suppose I'll get my chance this year at St. Mary's. After college, I was in a place that I think a lot of young people are in. I didn't know what to do next. I didn't really have any guidance or direction. I probably wasn't asking the right questions, probably wasn't real open to taking advice from those who cared about me. And so I thought, well, why not go make money? And so I moved to Belfield, North Dakota to work in the oil fields. And I moved up there the first year welding. And after a year of welding, I realized I'm way too weak for this. I won't be able to do it my whole life. And so I went back to school for drafting, and I did all the prints, all the 3D blueprints for the welders that I worked with. It was a wonderful job. I loved my job. I loved all the people I got to work with. I loved my boss. I loved the community of Belfield. They were incredibly good to me. But I still remember the day when I was in my 22-foot bumper pole camper with frost coming through the walls because it was winter time. I remember making a prayer from my heart. It wasn't a vocal one. It's one of these that just wells up. And the prayer was, God, I don't want this life. I don't want this life. I'm not happy. I'm not fulfilled. And I can't do this the rest of my life. And in a split second, in a moment of grace, I heard a response. And the response simply said, you know where you need to go. And I did know where I needed to go. It was the Catholic Church. Not that I'd ever left it, right? I was born and raised Catholic. I'd never left it. But I needed to return to the church in a new way, in a heartfelt way, an intentional way. And so I did. I started to go to Mass more frequently, started to be more intentional in the confessional, and I even took 1 hour a week to spend with our Lord in adoration. What I found was a newfound joy. A newfound joy. And what's fascinating is, right, is that when you give your life to God wholeheartedly, intentionally, we like to think the lie is that it's going to be more work. It's going to be more burdensome. He's going to take all these good things away from us. And in fact, it's the exact opposite. I began to love my job even more, to work even harder at doing a good job. Right? I began to love my coworkers and to worry about their salvation, right? About their children and their families, and to be more active in the community. But after about 2 years of that, growing in my relationship with Jesus, I realized there was something else missing. Something that I wasn't able to give. I had been giving. I had been active, right, in all the groups at the church. But there was something more I needed to give. And I didn't know where else I could answer that question but in the seminary. And so I joined seminary in 2016, and I remember two things after all the psychological evaluations, right, which I passed, after going to all the IQ tests, all the blood work, all these things that the church asks of you so that we can be healthy priests. I remember driving over to meet with Bishop Kagan on that fateful day in June. And there's two things that I remember very specifically. The first was that I remember praying, Jesus, please let Bishop Kagan tell me no, so that I can finally just be done with this. You know how that one turned out. The second thing that I remember very clearly is I remember as I was driving over, I had a blank check in my pocket. I didn't know how seminary worked, and I didn't know how the church worked real well, but I did know how the world worked, and I knew that seminary was going to cost a lot of money, and I thought I had to pay for it, and so I was prepared. And I remember driving over, met with Bishop Kagan. He accepted me. That was wonderful. And then I asked him, who do I make the check out to? And he looked at me with an odd look. Said, what are you talking about? I said, well, somebody's got to pay for it. And I know what it costs, and I'm prepared to pay 1 year, the first year. And then he told me about how generous the diocese is and how generous all of you are. That for people with a degree already, that the diocese would pay for it all. And that one day, right, I'd be able to give it all back to you through my service. And so it felt good tearing that check up. But I want to thank you for your generosity, because it's because of you and our good bishop that we're able to do that. You know, in today's gospel, Jesus gives us three parables. And although my life is unique, the details of my life are unique, the details of your life are unique, and they matter. I don't think our stories are so very much different. I think we all experience the same kind of story of conversion and repentance, salvation. In the gospel, Jesus talks about the path the seeds are thrown on. The path is that well-traveled path we all travel on, where we're running about frantically, searching out our unbridled desires, our selfish desires. Those things in our life that we know will not bring us salvation or fulfillment, but we keep following them anyways. It's frantic and it's exhausting. The rocky ground is that place inside of us where we are not able to receive God's love. And the great tragedy of not being able to receive God's love is that we fail then to love ourselves, and we fail to love others the way that God asks us to. That's why Jesus says, right, I came to give you human hearts, earth, fleshy hearts, right? Not hearts of stone. And the weeds are our sins. We all have them. They're things from our past that we regret, that we're ashamed of. And don't they sap all of the life from us if we allow them to? They drain us and they haunt our memories. But the good news is today, the good news is, everyone, that Jesus offers us every day, especially in the Mass, but every day of our lives, He offers to remove those things. It's not so much that we have to do more or that what we have to do to fix our life. Sure, we need to cooperate with Him, but it's His work. And the good soil that's inside of us is already there. He just needs to remove some things. And so the good news is today that if we can allow Jesus to do His work inside of us, inside of our hearts, to plant His seed of divine life in us, then we all might be able to experience the glorious freedom of the children of God.